and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 55. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm Michelle Malloy-Dillon. And Janice and I are here with Dr. Ray Bergman, who's the Director of Programs and Research at the Higher Education Research Services, which is called HERS. And Ray brings over 20 years of experience in a variety of higher education settings. And as the Director of Programs and Research, she's responsible for all HERS programs. The HERS Leadership Institute, there's a regional leadership development workshops that they do, and there's a bunch of online services to develop leaders across higher education. So we're thrilled to have Ray here. And I also want to share a little personal something. Like, I'm in Boulder, Colorado. Ray is in Denver, Colorado, and she and I love to eat beignets together. So we get together, every, 6 weeks or so, and meet at one of our favorite Denver restaurants and eat beignets and have coffee in the morning. So I really appreciate that friendship, and it's wonderful to have Ray here for our podcast today.
Well, thank you. I'm honored. I'm really excited to talk to the both of you today. I am missing the beignets. However, I do believe that there are opportunities for us to pick our favorite pastry and do that in a virtual space. Now as well, we can have our beignet time.
I love that, Ray. I love that. Yes, absolutely. I'm in.
We're all getting creative, right? It's part of the pivoting is like getting creative. So,
So when we're recording this podcast, it's about mid-April 2020, and we've all been through several weeks now of stay-at-home orders, and so we're developing new ways. And Ray wrote a great blog post about strengthening your team during crisis, because it's such an important topic right now.
Yeah, and you know what I love is I feel like you know, no matter when you're listening to this, there's so many crises, right? It could be your executive director quits suddenly, you know, your board turns over, you have a financial issue, a scandal maybe, you know, sexual harassment scandals have hit, you know, a lot of charities over the last couple of years. So I think this is a topic that's relevant now, but always relevant, because there's always leadership and there's always crises.
Yeah, there's always something going on, something happening. And this is a time where normally when you go into crisis mode, you're so focused on the crisis that you forget about your team. You forget about those you work with. And that's the perfect time to invest in them not only as people who work with you, but them personally. So that personal and professional development, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, you know, as I talk to my individual coaching clients, Ray, and also teams that I work with, I find that during this time, teams are in a variety of stages. They've either, through all of the navigating through this change, they've either gotten closer as a team and are working better than they were in person, or they're kind of falling apart. Or like you had mentioned too, they're kind of all in these kind of siloed frames of mind because they're just dealing with what they need to deal with at this time and they're not really connecting. And so what I'm hoping through this conversation today is that we can really give people some useful tools to really consciously align, consciously utilize the team, strengthen the team so that everyone feels stronger and more able and better prepared through a crisis.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'm
ready.
Yeah. And you know, I think, I mean, it comes clear in your blog post, which we'll link to in the show notes, but it sort of starts with trust. So maybe you can tell us about, you know, what you have done before at HERS, like to build this foundation of trust, and what's shifted within your own leadership in terms of needing to continue that and even up the ante on that.
Well, Janice, I would say one of the things that set us up really well was a leadership transition. And so about a year and it's been more than a year and a half now, HERS got a new president. Mm-hmm. You know, typically, you know, you have a transition and you're thinking, oh my goodness, we have no idea what's going to happen. All of us have become much more creative around the work that we do at HERS, but also in having all of these conversations about what HERS is going to look like in the next 50 years, because 50 in 2022, all of these conversations have brought us together more, allowed us to trust one another more. They have been, you know, some really deep conversations around the values of the organization. And now I can tell you, if we added a HER staff member to our conversation right now and said to them, what are the HERS values? Everyone could state what the HERS values are, because we've had these deep conversations. So it's easier for us now, when we see something happening, we can point to a particular value and either cheer someone on or have a conversation around perhaps how that isn't aligning with the values that we have for the organization. So that transition set us up for this particular moment in time and has allowed us to have much more transparency. And in the meetings that we're having, we had already set up some very, clearly defined meetings for various teams within the office, and they had structure to them. So we've maintained that structure to our meetings. And again, it just, you know, allows us the transparency and the trust and allows us to continue doing the work that we were already doing, but has opened us up also to just so much more creativity in the work.
Mm-hmm. There's two things there that I just love what you're saying, Ray. There's the first, which is about having a clear idea of values, because the way that you talk about it is it's almost like a compass. Like, are we heading in the right direction, or do we need to, are we not? Like, whoops, yeah. Let's go this way. And so those clear values can really help guide as a compass if everyone's aware of them and everyone's willing to check in. Is that, you know, are we living our values with that initiative?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so in terms of what the mission is of the organization, advancing women leaders in higher education, the values fit with the mission. But what's even more important is that we developed values that we see in everyone on our team. Mm-hmm. So they weren't just picked out of the sky. They were things that when we looked at everyone, we said, everyone has this. Mm-hmm. So you, a woman leader who shows up, yes, you know, you're a member of the HERS team. Are you a woman leader who, you know, works hard, but plays hard? Mm-hmm. Yes. So all of us can identify, you know, those moments when we're showing up, when we're really living the values and the mission of the organization. And so that's key for charities and nonprofits and foundations. You know, are you living the mission, and do your values reflect that mission, and do you see that in your team members?
Yeah, fantastic. That's beautiful. It's even the way you say it, it's very grounding. Yeah. Hearing you talk about it, it's sort of like it provides this foundation. And I mean, I'm not even part of HERS, but I'm feeling that grounding as you are speaking about it. So yeah. I imagine it gives the organization that same sense of grounding.
It does. And we also, one of the things that we did in programs and research, we were looking for, you know, again, a grounding, a compass, a way to, you know, always come back to what are we looking for? What really would, you know, put HERS out there? And in terms of the themes that we have, that we pick every year for the programs that we have, we're like, okay, so we got the themes. We understand that. We've been doing that for years. Is there something else? So when we looked at our extended team, so going beyond those who are staff members, and I would encourage everyone to think about this. It's not only those who are a part of your immediate team who are full-time employees. It's also those who are part-time. It's those who are vendors for you, and looking at whether or not they reflect the values that you have as well. We went even another step further, our board has a matrix that they use, and many boards use a matrix to make sure that you're covering all of the needs of the organization. And in programs and research, we adopted the same matrix that executive is using. And we added a few components to it that fit with programming, but we wanted to make sure that we were aligning across the organization. And so when we're looking at any new facilitators, not only do we have the values, but we also have this matrix that we're using to make sure that we're aligning everything across the organization.
Mm. Yeah, it's so powerful, I think, because, you know, a lot of times organizations, I think, like, if even some don't do values work, but even if they do, sometimes it's sort of like an exercise, it's a retreat, maybe they get printed and put up, mm-hmm. but what you're really pointing to is like tangible ways to infuse those values in like every day. And that's, I like when you said earlier, like if, you know, somebody came on, anyone from your staff could name the values. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful statement because I think that's often not true, but it's because we can feel like they're infused in every decision that you're making, yeah. You know? So I think that's really like a tangible thing that people can take away from this to think like, if I walked up to all of my team members, would they know? Mm-hmm. And if not, what do I need to do as a leader to make that real?
Yeah. So, and I'm hearing it's not just being able to say the values, but to actually feel them and to mm-hmm. know what it, you know, to be living them. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's one thing, like you said, Janice, to go on a retreat or to identify values, put it on a wall, and then just walk away. And it's another thing to live them and incorporate them into every day.
Yeah, we were doing some interviewing recently for a position in the office that was open. And several times we were asked to pick a word or a phrase that would describe, you know, what it meant to work at Hearst. And because of the values, oftentimes we were picking the values because those are things that, yes, we all know them, we all believe them, we're living them. I mean, another one of our values is persistent. Mm. And so as women, we are persistent. We're going to get the job done. We're really going to be thoughtful about how we get the job done. So again, I mean, it was kind of funny that question because I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh, we just ran out of values. You know, I have to come up with something else that is similar to one of our values.
Yeah. Well, another thing I'm sort of seeing you pointing to here, Ray, is a bit of structure. You were talking about the structure of your meetings. And I took it to mean that, like, even in the virtual environment that you're all working in now, that you're recreating the structure that was working when you were in person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that can absolutely help build, again, that sense of trust. Trust comes from feeling like there's some sense of predictability. And in a time of crisis, having some sense of predictability of this is how we run meetings, whether it's virtually or not, can mm-hmm. really help hold up that trust.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's been great to be able to maintain some sense of normalcy, even though we're distributed. It's been nice to say, okay, on Monday, I know that I have a team meeting. This is what we do during the team meeting. I will say this, we've become a bit more like almost relaxed in doing it now, because before it was, well, you know, I already heard about the enchilada sauce you made, so we don't need to talk about that. Now, during the meetings, you know, those are the things that we're talking about those things as well. Mm. And those moments, I mentioned in the blog, you know, those moments that are small wins, as well as the things that are larger, we're now talking about those things because we don't have the, oh, I walked into the office and I shared, this is what happened to me over the weekend, or, you know, I finally figured out this one thing on my Instapot. Like, we're not having those moments, or, you know, oh, I was finally able to do this particular thing that I had set out to do in my wellness program that I really wanted to be able to do, you know, a 30-minute walk every day. Well, now we're in a completely different space. And so we're sharing what's going on with us in a very different way. Yeah. It allows us to naturally go into, you know, because I was able to take that 30-minute walk, while I was out there, I had this great idea, mm-hmm. the idea that I had. And I'd love everyone's feedback and thoughts on how we might do this, how we might implement this. Just, you know, is this something that's good for us? Is this something that's good for our clients and our participants? So things are happening in a more organic manner.
Mm. Yeah.
It was before. And I believe anytime there's a crisis or any type of disruption in the work that you're doing, you find something new about your team that you never knew before because people step up in a different way.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're reminding me, Ray, that I've talked with, I think it's two leaders who lead teams in the past couple of weeks, and they've been remarking about how the connection is deeper with their team during this crisis through Zoom calls and video calls. And that they're sort of worried about when things get back to normal, that things will get back to normal, right? And and I've been encouraging them, you know, whatever you're doing now, bring it into your in-person mm-hmm. meetings when you are seeing each other in person again. It doesn't have to be an either or. There mm-hmm. are great things that we're all learning during this time that can certainly be transferred back to when we're seeing each other in person again.
Yeah. 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 I think it's, I've had similar conversations where, you know, people are saying it's kind of like we're missing the walk to the meeting, the little sidebar conversation. So I think people are intentionally building those into meetings. And that's a nice thing that we definitely, you know, could continue to do. And the other thing that's been coming up for me, Ray, that I like that you pointed to, which I think is a lot of organizations are having to pivot, like, in terms of like, we did a lot of things in person and now we're navigating, you know, going online with those. So maybe you can speak to, you know, from your experience at HERS, like how have you helped as a leader, but also what have you seen in your team in terms of, like you said, stepping up to meet these new challenges, and what can we learn from that?
Yeah. So there's now a very different rhythm to our day. And we start out in the morning, we are using a platform outside of Zoom, but we're starting out every morning by saying good morning to one another, and everyone on the team can see the good morning, and because the platform that we're using, and I'll just tell you, we're using Teams, using mm-hmm. Microsoft Teams, allows us to send video and various other things, and so you can get really creative with your good morning as well, and so the rhythm to the day is there's the good morning, and then we're doing 10 minute what we were doing right before the stay at home order, which was we were doing 10 minute stand up meetings. Mm. We had a sense of what was going on with everyone. Well, now we're doing those virtually, just to get that rhythm, that pace of someone else's day. What are they doing? Are they going to need additional assistance or help from someone else on the team? And it allows us every day to lay eyes on one another. Again, the structure that we already had, we're simply enhancing that structure mm-hmm. using technology.
Yeah, that's, I love the fact that you have the personal, like, good morning, in that it made me think, Janice, maybe we should do that with fundraising leadership. And we do a little bit, like we have a WhatsApp group, which is our, just our social, like, it's just our fundraising leadership WhatsApp group, and we don't do business on that WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
That is our social. So I, you know, I send a picture of the snow in my backyard and, you know, whatever that is. And it is a wonderful channel to have that kind of personal connection with people.
Yes. And David and I meditate together, but that's 7:30 Eastern. So you don't want to come to that.
I'm not doing that. 5:30. I'm sorry. I'm still sleeping.
Well, what the both of you are pointing out to me right now is that there's so much more to who we are as people. Yes, there's the work, but there's so much more to who we are as people. And we have to continue to develop and grow. Mm-hmm. And if there is a crisis, you can't forget that aspect of the team either, like the developmental part of you. And there are, you know, many different facets to what people need. And so one person needs meditation. Someone else needs to ensure that they are, you know, regularly practicing yoga. Someone else may have a need to constantly do something different all the time. And so they want to take guitar lessons. And being supportive of those activities, in addition to the developmental activities that may have something to do with work. So, you know, maybe I'm not great at Excel, not me personally. Maybe, you know, that's what it is. Maybe it's, you know, it's Excel, or, you know, I'm really thinking about how do I do a better job managing my critical conversations or my challenging or difficult conversations. And I want to find something out there that will help me be better at that. Mm-hmm. To support all of those aspects of the folks we work with. Like, that's also critically important as you're navigating any type of transition or disruption, because those things are going to come out even more. They're going to be highlighted. Mm-hmm. If there are certain challenges, or, you know, I just need 15 minutes during the day where I go and walk outside. Mm-hmm. Supporting those types of activities, whether we're in person or virtual, when you're in a crisis mode and stress starts to build, what are those things that are most going to help your team be able to come back and focus on the work?
Mm-hmm. You know, in your blog, Ray, you talk about if your team knows the resources that they need to produce, you know, and if they don't have it, you know, is there freedom to ask for it, or is there freedom to have these conversations about what do I need? And what comes up for me as you're talking is that sometimes the resources are, I need to take a 15-minute walk, you know, and sometimes the resources of, you know, sometimes in this more personal way of interacting with team members, it may be I'm having a bad day. I may not be at 100% today. Yeah. You know, my husband is sick and there's worry right now about that. Yeah. And I'm here, but I just need to let you guys know I'm not going to be at 100%. And that gives the team a chance to shift resources for that particular time.
Yeah, we've been spending quite a bit of time talking to various partners of ours. And one of the words that has come up multiple times is giving one another grace. And all of us are in that space of understanding we are all doing our best. So even as a team leader, you're doing your best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just everyone right now giving each other a whole bunch of grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How we're doing, what we're doing, and working through the challenges that we're having.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what we like to do during our podcast is to give our audience something to try from this conversation. Right. So, you know, you mentioned in your blog post, there's five really great questions that you pose in your blog post. And what are one of those questions that you'd like to just mention here on the podcast as one of the most important ones to answer?
You know, I'm going to go to trust, and because if if you don't have trust with your team, it does make it incredibly difficult to get the work done. But the other part of that question was, does your team trust you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not only do you trust your team, but do they trust you? And so that's one that I believe anyone can grow from, spending some time thinking about that question. And if they're not sure, or even if you think you know the answer, asking your team may reveal interesting nuggets for you. And so, I mean, it's a conversation starter. Like, you know, do I trust you? Yes. And here are the reasons why. Now, do you trust me? And not being defensive about any of the answers or responses that you get, but spending some time thinking about how can we grow as a team and how can we grow through trust?
Yeah, and how can we increase trust from where it is now, right? Because there's always room for improvement.
Yeah,
that's great, Ray. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Ray, for being part of our podcast, and having you here today has been a real pleasure. Great conversation.
And well, thank you to both Michelle, to you, and also Janice. Thank you to the both of you for including me as a part of the fundraising leadership. I'm going to say family.
Thank you. That's how we like to think of it.
And allowing me to just spend some time with the both of you, and spend some time with you. Not just in a, oh, here we are, we're, you know, all looking at one another right now, but spending some time with one another in thought and really thinking about how all of us become better leaders. And that, as Michelle, as you just said, there's always room for improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's been, you know, I think for Michelle and David and I, we've been having a lot of conversations about, we have to, you know, we have to see the opportunity in this. Like, it's, you talk about, Ray, like the sort of, you know, we can see the glass half full or half empty, right? And it's like, we can see this as a chance to say, okay, how can I personally, you know, step up, be the leader I want to be and make an impact in the world right now? And if we all collectively, you know, do that, I think that, you know, it obviously makes the world better, but it gives each of us a sense of purpose, which really is something that we need right now, you know, in these hard circumstances. So, yeah, so beautiful. All right. Well, I'm going to invite the listeners to go. And as I said, we'll link to Ray's blog in the show notes so you can see those five questions. And we're going to invite you in particular to think about trust. Are you trusting? And do you have the trust of your team? And what do you need to do to increase that? And we'd love you to subscribe. One of the ways you can help us right now is to help grow our family, as you said, Ray, by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. And so we want you to go put it into practice.